This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you may have noticed the different sound in that bell. You might say that today in this school we're on a field trip. I'm away from my regular recording station and trying to do this in a remote station at this time for some reasons. There may be some interruptions, and if I have to stop and start over a little bit, you'll understand that that might be the case in this situation. But nevertheless, I'm glad you came to class today. I am glad to be here, and we're going to continue our study of Peter and John, particularly Peter, and how he was undaunted by persecution in just a moment. So, the Warren County Radio Bible School, let me update this. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you from our text, Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, and behold, ye filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." And then Acts chapter 5, 30 and 31, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree. Him did God exalt with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and the remission of sins." Going now to Elam's notes that he prepared for the Sunday schools of May the 29th, 1927. Peter and John left the presence of this court with the words that they must obey God rather than man. And these are the first words uttered on this occasion. The apostles showed that God's promise to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that their seed and all the families of the earth should be blessed, he had fulfilled in Jesus, but that these rulers had crucified him. The charge that these rulers had crucified Jesus was again firmly and clearly repeated, "Whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree." The cross is called a tree because it was wood and it stood upright as a tree. God gave repentance to the people by granting them the opportunity to repent and placing before them the incentives and indictments to repentance. He gave remission of sins through the gospel of Christ when, in the name of Christ, people obeyed him. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 is where we read that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And then it says in Acts chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, "We are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. But they, when they heard this, were cut to the heart, and were minded to slay them." The apostles knew that Jesus rose from the dead. They had seen him at different times and at different places, and they could not but speak the things which they saw and heard. So they declared before, "So is the Holy Spirit a witness of these things." Jesus said the Spirit would bear witness of him in John 15, 26 and 27. "The Holy Spirit is sent only to those who obey God," John 14, 15 through 17. A heart must be fitted by casting out the evil and by a sincere effort to conform to the will of God for a temple of the Holy Spirit before he'll dwell in it. The gift of the Holy Spirit that enabled some of the Christians to work miracles was enjoined on the same conditions that his presence is enjoined by Christians, that is, by the fitness of the heart as a temple of God through the Spirit. The conditions of enjoying were the same, but the manifestations were different. That's the way David Lipscomb described it. You see, we read of miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. It did not necessarily make one more spiritual to have these miraculous gifts. I would refer you to the book of 1 Corinthians. They were behind in no spiritual gift, and yet Paul said, "Ye are carnal." Now, we read in Acts 2:38 that those who would repent and be baptized would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In that context, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the salvation that is promised in Acts 2:21. And so we read all these passages about the Spirit, and sometimes gifts of the Spirit, plural, or gift of the Spirit, singular, and filled with the Spirit. And these words are not always used in the same way, in the same context. And this whole study of the Holy Spirit can be complicated. There's three things that you really need to know, though, about the Holy Spirit. And number one is this. The Holy Spirit gave us the Word of God. The second one is this, that the Holy Spirit gave men, some men, the ability to perform miracles and signs and wonders that they might confirm that the Word that they had been given was from the Spirit. And then the third thing is that the Holy Spirit works on our hearts through His Word. If you understand those three things, you understand most of what you need to know about the Holy Spirit. And almost every passage in the New Testament talking about the Holy Spirit can be classed under one of those three categories. Well, now, when the council heard Peter's speech, they were enraged. They were cut to the heart, not with conviction and sorrow for sin, but in anger, and were disposed to mob the apostles. Let me read this to you from our text. It says in Acts chapter 5, 33 through 35, "But when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and were minded to slay them. But there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in honor of all the people, and commanded to put men forth a little while. And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves as touching these men, what you are about to do." And Gamaliel gave this advice, going down to Acts 5:38. "And now I say unto you, refrain from these evil men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be a work of men, it'll be overthrown. But if it is of God, ye will not be able to overthrow them, lest haply ye be found even to be fighting against God." And to him they agreed. And when they'd called the apostles to them, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and at home they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Back to Elam's notes, we read this. The Sanhedrin had no power to put to death, at least not legally, not under the Roman law. While the Sadducees were at the head of this persecution, the Pharisees were represented. Gamaliel, a Pharisee, a member of the council, made a speech in favor of moderation and calm deliberation. It was a wise and conservative speech. If the apostles were impostors, they would come to naught finally, as other impostors had done. If their teaching was of God, it could not be overthrown. He mentioned the cases of one Thutis and Judas of Galilee. Now, Gamaliel's advice was good in that it spared the apostles' lives, but you know what better advice would have been? Gamaliel should have advised those men what we ought to do. is search the Scriptures to see whether those things that they speak are so. That's what those more noble Bereans did. And this council of men who considered themselves to be noble men should have done that noble thing. Well, Gamaliel's advice was to refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council or this work be of men, it'll be overthrown. But if it is of God, you'll not be able to overthrow them, lest happily ye be found fighting against God. Even in this advice, it seems that Gamaliel's more interested in themselves than in the truth of what is being said here. It was a prudent speech. It quieted the mob-like council, and they agreed with Gamaliel not to kill the apostles, but then they charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Gamaliel was not a believer, but is seriously impressed that this work just might be of God according to his test. Christianity is of God. It has not been overthrown, but gains power with the centuries. By their fruits ye shall know them. The apostles were beaten, but they left this council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and at home they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. Thus the very persecution of the apostles gave them courage and strength and emboldened them to preach through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now that brings the Sunday school lesson to a close, all except this little rhyme at the end of the lesson questions. Oh, give us strength to face our day with courage as thy sons of old, to lift our voice in prophecies against the gods of stone and gold. Give us to see and understand the heart of man and to forgive. Give us the faith to touch thy hand. Amen. No author is given for that rhyme. It simply says it is selected. And I turn the page in my little Sunday school book. It is indeed a fragile, faded page. But the things its teachings are not fragile and faded. They're old and rugged. And on the next page, as I turn this page, I see there's a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of June the 5th, 1927, about Peter preaching to the Gentiles. The text for this lesson is Acts 10, 34 through 48. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which he sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That saying ye yourselves know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew, hanging him on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but unto witnesses that were chosen before of God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach unto the people, and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead, to bear witness to all the prophecies, that through this name every one that believeth on him shall receive the remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision that believed were amazed, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit.